we will be welcoming another councillor in a moment to discuss his proposal for a future fund for Auckland. We want to talk in detail with the mayor about the three tracks proposed for Aucklanders to consider on the 10-year plan. They've got 2 days left to make submissions on this. I'll tell you what those three proposals are. One proposal is for lower rates increases for getting less, which will include some service cuts and slower infrastructure investment. A second track is higher rates in order to get more, including speeding up infrastructure and climate resilience work. The third in-between option for rates rises, and whose centrepiece is the Mayor's proposal to create an Auckland Future Fund, would do this. The fund would aim to increase non-rates revenue. It would provide for some level of self-insurance for future disasters. The fund would be kicked off by $3 to $4 billion, and this would happen by the council selling its remaining 11% shareholding in Auckland International Airport. It would lease out operations at the ports of Auckland for around 35 years while retaining council ownership of the land. Not everyone is on board with that proposal. If we can reconnect with Mayor Brown, we will work through exactly what his pitch is for the future fund. All right, let's go to Mike Lee then. Mike Lee is an Auckland councillor who is available to speak to us as arranged. He has reservations on the Auckland Fund proposal. He's with us now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's work through what the Mayor was going to speak to us about. He is proposing that leasing much of the ports of Auckland for 35 years, there are some carve-out, and selling the remaining shares in Auckland Airport would enable a $3 to $4 billion capitalisation of this Auckland Future Fund. A good proportion of that, at least $1 million, would be used as self-insurance for future disasters, which presumably would save some money being paid out to outside insurers. This is about building up a fund, and he also argues one that would have better returns than what you're currently getting from ownership of the remaining shares in Auckland Airport and from the port. What do you say about the veracity or the validity of this plan?
It's actually gobbledygook, really. If you were really intent on setting up a future fund, so-called, rather like the superannuation fund, airport shares and the port profits would be the first thing that would go into them. Blue chip investments, long-term stable earners. You don't cash them up. The future fund, really, I'm afraid, is just a pretext for the asset stripping that he is currently obsessed about. That's an unfortunate thing.
What he says is they're not currently covering the cost of capital. You are spending more on borrowing with respect to the airport, say, than you are getting in return in dividends.
It's the same argument he used last year, but last year he talked about the need to pay down debt. That's all forgotten about now. Then now there's a future fund. This is essentially asset stripping, almost for the sake of it. It is not prudent management of the public's resources. In terms of cost of capital, those assets were handed down for free to the Auckland Council, and they're hell-bent on actually blowing them.
Yeah, but he still argues that you pay more in borrowing costs than you get in return. The argument is essentially this.
No, he's wrong about that entirely. When it comes to the airport, when it comes to the Port of Auckland. So
they do cover their costs of capital, in your view?
I beg your pardon,
They
sorry?
Do cover their costs of capital, in your
of
view?
Of course they do. The Port of Auckland and the airport virtually cost the council nothing. The Port of Auckland has a modest debt, which is based on infrastructure. It's paying its way, probably about $1 million a week. That's not too bad an investment. If you were serious about a future fund rather than a slush fund, you would not be cashing up these assets. You would move those assets into the future fund, and that would be a fund which would earn income in perpetuity. This is an asset strip And in the meantime, they will set up a slush fund. The last fund, future fund, this council inherited from the Auckland Regional Council was the Diversified Asset Fund, modest enough, about $500 million worth of stocks and bonds and cash. It lasted for about 8 years under the Super City. It was well managed by a very small, efficient CCO called Auckland Council Investments Limited, earned about 18% a year, and the Auckland Council Finance Department got hold of it, cashed it up. The whole lot was spent within months.
All right, look, Mike,
that
I hear you. I hear you.
You can see how we're going to go with the so-called future fund.
I hear you, but the same argument was made about the New Zealand Super Fund. You can surely put some protections and provisions around what this can be used for, and particularly if it is being used in part to self-insure, right? So you're foregoing paying international reinsurers large sums of money in order to keep a pool here for future disasters.
No, no, that's all of that is paid for. This is a $102 billion long-term plan, Catherine. Ratepayers of Auckland will be paying most of that $102 billion out of their rates. The ports of Auckland and the airport provide their income-earning assets. Unlike the rest of the council, they provide an alternative to rates. They were handed down by far-seeing generations of civic leaders. They should be handed on to future generations of Aucklanders. Selling those assets will mean that Auckland is being asset-stripped and those future generations are being disinherited.
We would love to hear the Mayor's arguments. The invitation's still available to him for a few more minutes if he would come on and discuss them. He was on the line at 9.05, possibly took exception to us talking about a Minister for Security announcing a criticism of China, but never mind. Let's just carry on this. If you don't take
Catherine,
this route... Yes.
Catherine, a friend of mine discussed the matter of selling the airport shares, a business guy, and he was tended to support the idea of selling the airport shares. The son, his younger son, said to him, "Dad, getting the council to sell the airport shares, in effect, the port company as well, because that's what it really is, selling those shares would be like mum and dad getting their drug-addicted son to sell the family home. We have a major spending problem in Auckland Council. Selling assets will just add fuel to the fire."
Yeah, I'm not sure about that analogy because there's plenty of people who
are selling family. I'm very sure about
Sorry to the kids. Okay. Let's come back, therefore, to what the alternatives are. If you're not going to support this track and if this is not ultimately the way that things go, you are looking at pretty steep rates rises, are you not, unless it's back to service cuts and slowing down provision of infrastructure. The higher track, pay more, get more, is 14% in year one, 10% in year two, 10% in year three. And is that the track that you would support?
No, I would not. There's an enormous amount of fat in this council. The mayor was elected on the pledge that he would fix things. He hasn't touched them at all, unfortunately. But there is enormous amount of fat in the system. The procurement arrangements in the council, and you can look at the way the CRL operation, just about everything else, is broken. We are not getting value for money. You know, the three options are kind of window dressing for the main agenda, which is, as I say, a slush fund and asset stripping. But essentially what the ratepayers of Auckland are going to get is pay more and get less. That's the reality of it, unless the fundamentals within the council are sorted. The overspending, the extremely poor, inefficient procurement. There's enormous amounts of money washing around in the system, and we don't need those huge rates increases at all. What we need is rigour, and we need an independent audit of this council after, 14 years, because it's well overdue. The All books right. need to be really opened.
All right. What do you say to listeners this morning who are 30,000 people made submissions to the last plan, which is a pretty amazing turnout. I don't know how many of those were perhaps form submissions. That's always possible. But what do you say to people this morning with 2 days left to decide on these three proposed options? The pay list, which is around 5% in year one, dropping back to 3.5%, but accepting that there's service cuts and there's a slowdown in infrastructure improvements. This higher track, which, as I said, is 14%, followed by 10, followed by 10, or the proposal in the middle, which is, you know, move some assets, essentially move the cash from those assets into this fund and have a more moderate rate increase. What are people's options this morning?
I think the whole thing's a sham, to be honest with you. The reality is, and what they intend to do is bang rates up 7.5% this year, which will be a record for the Auckland Council. Then they're going to drop them down to 3.5% next year, which happens to be election year. That will make the mayor and the councillors and the contenders look good for that year. And then it will be banged up to 8% the year after. Now, these are not just as they are. These are compounding, of course. Unfortunately, what this long-term plan is about, essentially, is a massive asset strip impoverishing the relief to Auckland's bankruptcy, if we keep on going down this track, to be frank, Catherine, you know, we'll go down the path of Birmingham or Detroit and all those.
Are you not banking Auckland's entire financial and fiscal future on the port and on the airport, are you, Mike?
Say that again, please.
I hope you're not banking the city's entire financial future on the airport and the port, are you, Mike?
No.
What's your position on whether the port should move, by the way? Because this was the mayor's original campaign, which was to actually...
Get the mayor on. He can explain for himself.
Well, we can get him back.
Let me say, the income from the airport, the income from the port augments rates. They're absolutely vital. You know, over the term of the long-term plans, it would be tens of millions of dollars coming in, which won't be coming from ratepayers. But fundamentally, it's the cost of the council itself. The huge amount of fat and waste and duplication.
So my final question to you, what is your position? What is your position on the future of the port in its current site and at its current scale?
Well, there's an interesting conversation to be had about that, Catherine, and it has been going on for some years, and there have been numerous reports, and most of them recommend that the port should move. But unfortunately, none of them have come up with a feasible alternative.
Understood. Final plan. This proposal of the mayor's moves two walls immediately, I think, out of the lease operation, essentially, and Bledisloe Wharf within 15 years. Do you believe that is feasible? Do you believe a private operator would take on a 35-year lease on that basis?
No, as soon as it... There's a lot of money to be made in the Ports of Auckland. As soon as they get that lease, they will ensure that it's extended. So people who want to see the port gone, or people who want that they should have, Aucklanders who feel they should have the port's profits, are going to be very disappointed if this mayor gets his way. He has no mandate for this asset selling. He did not mention asset selling once on during the election campaign, the 40 or so meetings they had. So actually, it's extremely disappointing. And I think I just ask the people of Auckland to get involved in this submission process
in the few days left and
make your feelings felt. Do not allow the council and the mayor to rip you off and your children's future.
Thank you. That is a member of the Auckland Council, Mike Lee.